Daf Kuf Beis. So we got to the very bottom of Kuf Aleph. Amid Beis, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, Tanan, the Mishnah that's found in Maseches Olos. The Mishnah says, Hasam Hamotze Meis Mushkav Kedarko, Noldo Vestfusasa. So what's going on here? Person finds a dead body at Mushkav that's lying down Kedarko, the way it's supposed to be buried, horizontal. And he's supposed to, Noldo, take it if you have to move out of the way, because since there's an isolated mace here, we don't assume this was the place it was supposed to be buried. So we take it and tusaso. And tusaso some of the dirt. Let's look at the Rashbam for some explanation here. Rashbam says it's around 10 lines up from the bottom. Dibur maschil mace mushkav kedarko. Mace is lying down the proper way. And no lo vest tusaso. You take both the mace and the tusa. Im rotelasos sham taros mifane la mace. Let's say you want to use that area to eat your taros. I don't know, whatever the reason is. You find the mace in your backyard. So you can move it out. So long as there are not three mesim buried next to each other, it's not called a shchuna of kvura. It's not called a neighborhood of mace. And you're allowed to move it. They're not kona. They don't acquire this place as their place of burial. Because dikol neymar, there's room to say, lo haya hamakom hazeh makom kvur. This wasn't the place where they were buried. El aydei dechak. It was right before Shabbos, let's say. They wanted to quickly bury the dead, so they found the open area, dug it up, and dropped the mace in there. But it wasn't meant to be the permanent area. That's what you're able to say. But since the person was dead, as opposed to killed, and was lying down straight the way it's supposed to lie down in the ground, Noto gamas tfusaso. So we assume it was at least kona, the dirt that's around the body, even though it doesn't, if it's kona the makomo, you can never move the mace. But this case, there is somewhat of an indication that it maybe was there intentionally, so therefore you take the body and some of the tfusa, which Rashbam goes on to say, is quoting Gemara Nazir, daf samechei, kamas shir tfusa, what's the amount of a tfusa? So perish Rabbi Eliezer, no tell afarti chawach, some of the soft dirt, v'chofer shlosh tfachim bekarka besula v'nota hakol. The soft dirt, and then you dig three tfachim below, where it's the hard dirt, and that's all called the tusa, t'choshiv kirekev shames. The rekev shames is a whole sugi nazir. We did this a year and a half ago or so. The rekev is some of the rotting, the decaying, the decomposition of the body goes into the ground, that becomes part of the body as well. So you take the body along with the tfusasa, those three tfachim. As opposed to reading in Rashbam further, this is all based in a pasuk. You take some of Mitzrayim, some of the dirt comes along with it. Tivusasa, that's the source. Kolomer mekarka Mitzrayim. However, aval im hayaharug, if the person was killed, shematzo meguyad, he's deformed. Part of his limbs are cut. Lo kona makoma klal afilu tfusa. Then he's not kona, certainly not the area, but not even the dirt surrounding him. Diklamemar sham narag v'nafal. He was killed and just dropped there in that spot. V'cheinim lo mushkav kadarko soto, if he wasn't buried horizontally in the proper way. Iklasfuke ba'akum ve'en lo tfusa. You could assume maybe it was a non-Jew, and a non-Jew is not kona the tfusa. So this is the scenario, what's going on here. So back to the Gemara now. The Gemara again quotes the Mishnah Tanan Hasan. The Mishnah Olos teaches us that Hamotze Mace Mushkav Kedarko, no lo vestfusaso. If you want the area, you could remove the mace somewhere else, but take some of the tfusa with it. Let's say you find Shnaim. Let's say you find two bodies next to each other. Still, no lo vestfusaso. You could remove the bodies along with some of the tfusa. They're not kona them makom. But, says the Mishnah on the top of Kuvbez, Mata Shlosha, if you however find three bodies next to each other, so then, Yesh Bernayim Me'arba Ad Shmona Harezu Shchunas Kvaros. If you find that these three bodies are in an area of between 4 and 8 Amos, so then you could assume it's a Shchun of Kvaros. It's part of those discussions we had yesterday. We'll read Rashbam in a second. And then you have to leave it as is. That's a shchun of kvaros. That's called a ma'ara, an area of kvaros. And then you have to be bodek mimener lahalan esim ama. You have to now go from this end and check 20 amos the other direction. Because remember, we had a chatzar in the middle. And there's two ma'aros on each side. So check from one end all the way to the other end. See if there's another shchun on the other side. And we're going to go through some of these dimensions in just a moment. And then the Mishnah finishes off saying, Matza echad b'sof esim ama. Let's say you find 20 amos away, you find another mace there. So then you have to bodek mimenu lahalan esim ama. You have to go another 20 amos to the other end. Maybe there's another chatzin, another shrunis kvurus on the other end. Shegrit reglan the davar. There's some indication. Sheilu mitchila matu nodla vestfus asaf. Unclear exactly how to read this line, but the idea is that reglan the davar. Then in the beginning, if you found the mace, you could have taken the mace along with the tfusa. But now that you don't find just one mace, you actually find three mesim, so then you could assume it's a shchuna of kvaros, and you have to check the 20 amos every next step. So let's go through some of the Rashbam here on the top here. The Rashbam says on the very top here, Matzah Shalosh, if you find three mesim, Mushkavim, Kedarkon, Zebetzadeh. They're next to each other horizontally, one next to each other in the ground. Im yesh bein harishon l'shlishi karov l'dal amos. If you take the complete measurement from one body to the next body, and there's going to be before amos, or karov l'shmona, somewhere between 4 and 8 amos, hareiz es shchunas kvaros. You could assume this is shchunas kvaros, and then you have to start doing the bedika. V'lo yidlo mikan dekanu mekomom. You can't remove them because this is their makom. They were kone. They acquired it. D'sfir le lahay tana tocha shel ma'ara arba amos al shmona. And we haven't seen any opinions like this just yet. But right now, this opinion assumes it's 4 by 8. We saw 4 by 6 and 6 by 8. We never saw 4 by 8. So this Tana is assuming it's a 4 by 8. So either these are 3 on a 4 amos wide wall, or the 3 on an 8 amos wall. That's why it's either between 4 and 8. The Svir Leinami, they also hold that Shegimel Mesim Nikvarim Bekolsa Rechava Delo Havi Ela Arba Amos. So they also assume that the wall is the one across from the entranceway. So if I walk into the Ma'ara, that's the back wall. That's where you found the three mesim. So you have to check from that wall all the way across the chater to the other Ma'ara on the other side. That's the assumption as to what's going on here in the Mishnah. Okay. So now let's go. Let's go through now the calculations. Let's go through the Gemara. The Gemara is going to go through these calculations. So the Gemara says, now, Amar Ma'ara. Money. Who authored this? Whoever said there's a Ma'ara that's 4 by 8? We learned either the Chacham is 4 by 6, or Rabbi Shimon who says 6 by 8. No one says 4 by 8. So the Gemara asks this question, money. E Rabbanan, if the Rabbanan authored this Mishnah, Olos, we already learned in our Mishnah, Baba Basra, Amri Dal Amos, Al Sheish is 4 by 6. And E Rabbi Shimon, if he's the author of the Mishnah, Olos, Ha'amar Sheish Al Shmona, he holds it 6 by 8. So who authored the Mishnah in Olos? The Gemara says, Liolam Rabbi Shimon. He really, Rabbi Shimon, authored it. V'hai Tana Tana, who it's a different Tana. There's a machlokas Tanaim, what Rabbi Shimon actually held. Did he hold 6 by 8, or did he hold 4 by 8? So our mission, Bab Basra says 6 by 8, but the mission, Olos, assumes 4 by 8. The Tanya, the Brisa tells us, Matan Ritzufim, if you find that the Ritzufim, they're right next to each other, adjacent to each other, Vein Beinayim Midal Amos Ad Shmona, Yesh Lem Tfusa, Vein Lem Shchuna Kvaros. If they're so jam-packed, lumped together, where it's not 4 by 8, so then we assume that it's not a shchun of karos, it was a bunch of bodies that were dumped in one area, and you can remove them elsewhere as long as you take some of the trusa. So we see here, so comes along Rabbi Shimon, Ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Rowan es ha'em tsoyim kilu einam, v'ashar mitstarfin midal amos v'ad shmona. He says, no, if it's, let's say, 15... bodies all buried with each other, you can remove, the 9 mil ones as if they shouldn't be there. And then the other ones, the 3, with their proper separation, you could view it as just being 3 that are there. As long as it's either 4 amos or 8 amos apart, that would be sufficient. But what we see from this brisa that Rabbi Shimon holds, that the Ma'ara, the dimensions of the Ma'ara, is in fact 4 by 8. So he's the one who authored the Mishnah Olos, that the dimensions of 4 by 8. Okay. The Gemara now says, "Mayo kimtik Rabbi Shimon." So why are we assuming the Mishnah Olos is written by Rabbi Shimon, who is the one who now holds 4 by 8? Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa. The Seifa says, "Bodek heimano lahalan esrim ama." You have to check 20 amos. So there's a problem with the calculation here, because e Rabbi Shimon, it should be esrim v'tartin havi. How so? So if Rabbi Shimon holds that a mar is 8 amos deep. So each Ma'ar is 8 amos deep. That's 16. And the chatzar in the middle is how long, remember? Remember?
Six.
So you have 8, 6, 8. That's a total of 22. So if I have 3, if that's the furthest wall, I've got 3 mason there. So I need to go 22 amos to check to the furthest one there. How come the Mishnah Olo says you only need to check 20 amos? That's the incorrect calculation. So Rabbi Shimon can't be the author in the Mishnah Olo, so you would need 22 amos, not 20 amos. So then the Gemara says, because again, here Rabbi Shimon assumed the tartan haven, you would need 22 amos to go from one end of the Mara to the opposite end of the Mara. Now, I Rabbanan, Tamnei Sarah Havin. According to Rabbanan, you need only 18. Because remember, how deep was a Ma'ara for the Rabbanan?
Six.
And the Chatzar, six. And then another six, you only need 6 times 3 is 18. So you wouldn't need 20 amos, according to Rabbanan, either. So who's the author of the Mishnah Olos that requires 20 amos of distance between one Ma'ara to the other Ma'ara? Can't be Rabbi Shimon, can't be the Rabbanan. Gemara says, really...
So we assume that wherever he finds something... That's the beginning of the Me'ara Nomas. He has to go on every single side.
Exactly. So the assumption here in the Olos was that the way Rashbam at least said is that we assume the three Mason, we find three of them, that's on the furthest wall.
Right. And let's say the legs, if they're putting the legs, that would be like not only the furthest wall, but the furthest part of the body.
Well, so that was not addressed, but
otherwise because you're adding the whole Me'ara.
That's true. We weren't The Gemara never, the Rishon, I didn't see at least addressing from the foot of the head.
Right.
You have to go 20 amos in both directions
now? Both directions, just in case it's on the other
side. It's possible.
Yeah.
But remember, it wouldn't be to the left or the right of it, though. Because even though we had that opinion that said from the Chatzar there are four outshoots of it.
Yeah, because once you see three, you know that that's...
Because it never goes on the side, it's
right.
Only across.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a small Tosfos here, Bodek, that talks about how you found it, the heads of
the... Ah, so that's the Tosfos Dimaschal Bodek Manu Lahalon Eshim Amma. It writes Tosfos, small little Tosfos, Ragilin Hayulaniach Tzad Margulosav Klape Hamara, that the legs would go Klape the Mara, which is facing inwards within the Mara, Umari Kishanim Sarosho Litzad Mara, Umargulosav Hafuchan Litzad Acheres, this is the Maimar Mimara Acheres Hu Fikach Bodik Lahalan Esim Amma. So again, you found they used to put the legs. Towards the Mara, which I think is towards the inside of the Mara. But you found the head, which is towards the Mara, and the legs face the other way. So now there's an indication, maybe it's not part of this, but it was in backwards. So maybe even though it's part of this Mara, the fact the legs are facing outwards might indicate it's part of a different Mara. And that's the whole Shaila here.
So you have to do work in both directions.
That's what it seems like, yeah. Now what comes out of this, interesting, that it sounds like from Tosfos, the Regilim. Is there a din how to bury the mace? Customarily, the way we bury it is the head is where the tombstone is going to go. That's usually right. How they bury it. Is there a hakpata based on what the Tosfos presents? It doesn't seem like there's a real din. That's just what was ragil. I don't know halach lemaisa. If there's a real.
Well, in those days they used to move it, even right? They used to,
did they move it? I thought we said you can't move it. If they're kohen the makom, you can't move it. It's only if you find it.
But I think there was something that they used to first put them in and then wait some time and then put.
Oh yeah, okay, I don't know.
Well, it says here that one of the reasons that the body could have been there is because it was being put there temporarily. So
Right, so there was a Gemara that they used to move them from.
Why was there an indent from just from the Mitzvahs? Whichever way the body was.
No, but if it's what the practice was that they used to, everyone did it in such a direction. So that would indicate that you could assume that it was part of this Mara. But since it was put in backwards, which I'm sure happens many times, I was actually once at a Levaya during the burial, there was some confusion in the way it was brought out of the car, and then the head, so and then the guy said, but just make sure, and the guy opens it up.
Oh,
and so we have to turn it around. And so, yeah, it's, okay, it's, again, it's...
You have to mark, huh? You have to mark.
Yeah, there should be some level of mark. Okay. Fine, so let's go back to the Gemara. Says, who authored the Mishnah? Again, no one requires 20 amos. It's either 18 or 22 amos to go from one end of the Mara to the other end of the Mara. Who authored the Mishnah Olos that says it should be 20 amos? So the Gemara says, Liolam really Rabbanan, last four lines of Amud Alephir. Liolam really, it's the Rabbanan here. Ukigon de Badak Bachsona. So you checked on an angle. So what's the checking of an angle here? So it's a little tough to understand what the angle is here. There's some mistakes in the calculations of the Rashbam, perhaps. At least Tosfos thinks there's a mistake. According to our mathematics, there's a mistake. What's going on here, Rabbanan really require 18. Amos, that's straight. But they suggest from the first Mara, you shouldn't go straight. You should really go on an angle, which is now going to increase from 6 to 8 amos. So now you have 8 amos on an angle, because it's going to be longer, then 6 in the center and then six at the other end, straight on the other end. That's how you get that. Again, if you go straight from one mace to the other mace, it's going to be 18. But Tosa says, or rather the Gemara says, and Rashbam explains.
It's 8 by 4?
No, it's 8 by 6. 4 by 6.
No, but the actual kever is the 4. He's saying that they're going at an angle by the inside, by the Me'ara.
The inside.
Where the kever is.
Inside Me'ara.
How wide is the Me'ara?
It's 4.
Four by six.
It's not. The Tosa says it's not correct math. You're going to get a 7 point something.
Didn't we say four?
No, that was Rabbi Shimon. But now we're assuming Rabbanah on hold.
Okay. Unless you know what angle it is, you don't really know.
No, you're assuming it's a right angle, so it's always the same. Right angle, so that's 4 squared plus 6 squared equals the middle one.
It's 4 squared.
It's 56 squared, which is 7 point something.
That's what I'm doing. Okay.
It's not 8. So Tosa's right that you made a mistake. 8 amos is not the calculation.
Exactly.
So he says you have to go angle into not the out part of the Mara, but you have to draw an angle into the Chatzar a little bit even also. That's going to get you the full 8 amos.
Uh-huh.
But others say no, it's 7 point something. They round it off to 8 amos. It's around 8 amos. So you do 8 amos of an angle inside this Mara, and then you go straight the other way, 6 amos and 6 amos straight to the end. And the Rashbam explains because when you go at an angle, it's easier to check as opposed to going one straight line. You're going at an angle, chances are you're going to come across another mace if it's somewhere in the middle there. That's how Rashbam explains.
7.2.
Yeah, so they round it off up, round it upwards.
Right. Are you digging when you're checking or are you just...
Yeah, I assume you're digging. Otherwise, you don't have whatever you call those, metal detector, detector. So I assume you're doing some level of digging. I don't know how deep you're going. Okay. So now, again, Tosa says Rashbam is wrong. That's not the correct math. And therefore, if you look at Tosa's that little picture on the bottom there, he draws it at more of an angle. We have to dip into a little bit into the Chatzar as well, I think. Maybe part of it. I don't know exactly.
Even then, you see you still get...
It's only 7, yeah. So he has some calculation here and how to figure out the math. Well, let's leave the math for now because it's already complicated as it is. So the Gemara asks an obvious question. Gemara says, Umidaha b'achsona, hanami b'achsona. So once you're checking that first Mara on an angle, so that also requires an angle. So that should really go back to 22. That's a mitar tihavin. That goes from 18 to 22 now. You're getting 2 amos extra on each Mara. So the Gemara says, Chada b'achsona aminan, tre b'achsona lo aminan. We only say it once. Because the reason is, you found 3 dead bodies here, so there's an indication there's more bodies here, you do the angle there. You don't know what's over there. You didn't find anything there. So that bidika could be a little bit more superficial and just going straight through. As long as you find nothing, there's no need to be concerned of doing this angle and checking an extra 2 amos. Fine. Gemara now says, Rav Shesha Brei de Rav Idi Amar, he says differently. Amar, he says, Li'olam really Rabbi Shimon he. Really Rabbi Shimon authored the Mishnah. He's the author of the Mishnah who says 4 by 8. So how did he come up with 20 amos? Doesn't he hold 22 amos? There's 8, 6, and then 8. That's a total of 22. How come he says 20? So he says, V'halcha b'mayaskina, what's the case here? B'nefile, referring to stillborns that were buried there, and they take up less room than that, and therefore it's only 6 amos and not 8 amos. It's a smaller ma'ara, so you have 6, 6, and then 8. That gives you 20. So hanami b'nefilu. So the Gemara said, wait a second, if one Mara is a Nefile, which is going to be only 6 amos deep, so the other one also should be a Nefile, 6 amos. So that gets you back to 18 rather. Tamna Seira Havin. Gemara says, Chada Nefile Amrina and Tarta Nefile Amrina. You're not going to make 2 stillborn Kuros adjacent to each other. So that Mara is stillborns, this one will be adults or children, older children. So you'll have 6, 6, and then 8. Rick, you don't seem very happy with these answers. Okay.
Didn't someone say that the stillborns are only put in on the
corners,
angular corner?
Well, not only that, they were put in corners, but they could also be put on the ends.
Right.
But the corners were reserved for Nephilim.
Right.
But also, you had possible to put them on the ends as well. Okay. I find this fascinating, the fact that these dinim are all describing how to bury people with such great detail, is all mentioned in the Gemara as well. I just find that interesting. But okay, the Gemara now asks the following question. Rami, the Rabbanan, other Rabbanan, Rami, the Rabbi Shimon, other Rabbi Shimon. We have a stira and two brises. A brisa we brought before, we'll see in just a second, and a new brisa here. The brisa quotes, we saw this elsewhere a couple times already in Baal Basra, that kerem hanatua apachos me'arba amos. If it's a kerem, you have a vineyard that's planted on an area less than 4 by 4 amos, Rabbi Shimon Omer, eino kerem, that's not called a kerem. But Chachamim Omrim, Hareza Kerem, the reason why it's not a Kerem for Rabbi Shimon is because it's too clumped together. It's not going to be very good. But Chachamim Omrim, that no, Hareza Kerem, because Rowan Esalem Soim Kilo Enam, you could view that some of the center ones shouldn't really be there. As viewed as open ground, even though you actually see vines growing there, you could ignore them and view it as a Kerem. So I told you, Rashman goes through all the different amounts here. Does he? No, he doesn't even talk about that. Okay. So what's the stira? Because we said before that when he had to lump together a bunch of mason, Rabbi Shimon was able to view the Emsaim bodies as if they were not there, and then view this as a Shchunas Kfuros. But Rabban didn't. Rabban said, since we're lumped together, you don't. You see what's there. So how come by the Kerem, Rabban were able to ignore the vineyards that were there, the vines that were there, but he can't do that by the mace? And Rabbi Shimon, by the mace, was able to ignore the mace in between, but he can't ignore the vines in between the Kerem. So the Gemara says, Kasha the Rabban, not the Rabban, Kasha the Rabbi Shimon, not the Rabbi Shimon. And so the Gemara answers, the Rabbi Shimon, not the Rabbi Shimon, lo Kasha. Hasam lo nati inchi adai til akor. No one plants vineyards and vines and grapevines in order to uproot. So when the guy planted it, he planted it with the intention of having them clustered together. And therefore, you can't ignore those that are there. That was his das of the noteya. And that's why you can't ignore it by the case of the kerem, and doesn't have a din of a kerem. It's too congested to be considered a kerem. But hacha, when it comes to the mace, how is he able to ignore some of the mason that were buried in between? Sometimes it was right before nightfall, and he wasn't able to find the place. So he quickly was able to find the place. He dug the mason there, but that wasn't meant to be a permanent place of burial. Shabbos. So he didn't have time to bury it. Why can't it be even during the week? Because only Yushalayim you bury at nighttime.
You can bury it.
Only but Yushalayim. But anywhere else,
we don't
bury at nighttime.
You leave the base out?
No, you do it right before. You do the best thing you could do. Either you leave it out overnight, but you wouldn't bury it on Shabbos. Oh, on nighttime, I'm saying. Let's say the guy, no place to preserve the body, and you have an opportunity to bury it right here. It's ideal to bury it as opposed to holding off, if you can. So in theory, it could be also during the week, I would imagine, but maybe I'm wrong. Either way, you were running out of time. So the burial happened right there, and you found the place, but it wasn't meant to be permanent. But before you put this mace in the ground, it already existed as a shchunas kever. And that's why...
I guess if you started during the day, in Ashmashat, you would be able to go on through the night. So there wouldn't be any cut-off hour. Maybe I'm saying...
Yeah, I don't know.
Obviously, you have a cut-off, so you know what?
Could be. I don't know how it goes. Halach l'maisa, it could be true. Nowadays, practically, they'll close the cemetery. Once 5 o'clock hits, you can't.
Yeah.
It's done. Yeah. 5 o'clock, they're done.
And union's
gone. So, okay. So that's the difference. When it comes to Rabbi Shimon, again, by the Kerem, since the Das was to plant, since the fact that there are vines here, that was his intention, you can't ignore the middle ones. But by the mace, it was a possibility. They just dropped them because they were running out of time. It wasn't meant to be there, the kvias, and that's why you can ignore the mason that are in between. What about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, nami lo kasha, hacha kevin de minva lo mikre kever. Since it's disgusting, but it's not very becoming to remove a body out of the ground, so we view it as a permanent thing. So you can't ignore the body there. You have to remove it and extract it. So we view it as being permanent there, and we view that the mason as clusters. We can't ignore them. Hasam, Meimer Amar, when it comes to the Bala Kerem who planted the vines, he said to himself, Hey Minayo de Shapir Shapir, and then Delo Shapir Lehavi Litzivi. Those he wanted to test out, so he planted a bunch of vines, those which grew very nicely, so Shapir, those are good, those I want to keep. But those that didn't grow very nicely, so those I'm willing to ignore and view them as just wood and trees, and that's it. And that's why in this case of the Kerem, you are, Rabban, are able to ignore the middle krumim and be viewed overall as a din of a Kerem. Hajin Alach, Hamocher Peres. Let's do this Mishnah, then we'll stop after this Mishnah. Mishnah, the beginning of the next parak, the seventh parak, says, Ha'omer l'chaver, a person says to his friend, Beis kor afar ani mocher l'cha. I'm selling you an area of dirt, and the significance of dirt, Rashbam says, four lines down in the new parak, Beis kor afar kolomar, in other words, haroi l'zriya. I'm selling you dirt that is something you could plant on. Aval im lo amar afar, if you don't say afar, afil kula slam hegiu. If I'm just selling you base core, and I end up selling you a area of rocks, so you didn't ask for offer, you didn't specify, I just sold you an area of land. So the shema livnos bayis ol mishach beperis avinle. Maybe you were buying it to build a house, maybe you were buying it in order to have your fruits lie out and dry on, and yad lokeach al tachtona. So our case here is where you specified I want a base core of an afar, an area that's right to plant on. So the Mishnah says, Hayusham nikam amukim asar tvachim, oslam givoim asar tvachim einam nimdaden ima. If you have an area, a crack in the ground that's 10 amos deep, 10 tvachim deep rather, or a little mound that's 10 tvachim high, that's not something you could really plant on. It's too deep, it's too high to plant things on. That's not part of the calculation. And you have to give other leveled land as part of the base core offer. But if it's pachas mikan, if it's less than 10 tvachim, either in the height or the depth, then nimdadin ima, it is part of the sale of the base core offer. It's going to be tafel and be considered part of that area. Im amar lo kibase core offer, I want an estimate of around the base cover, but not exactly. So in this case, afilu hayu sham nikam amukim yose measar tvachim. If I have an area that have cracks and ditches that are 10 tvachim deep, oh slam gvoim yose measar tvachim, or a rock that's 10 tvachim high, then the halacha is harei elu nimbedadin ima, then it would be part of it, because I said kibbeis offer, a rounding off to a base core offer, and that would be sufficient. There's one important halacha lemaisa here, not so nogea, but the Rashbam adds in, it's not enough that they're 10 tvachim deep. The Rashbam di ramaschal ein nimbedadin ima, ela no sein lo base core shalem mikarka chalek. You need to give them an area of flat land. The chayven da mukim ogvom asara, since they're so deep or so high, 10 tvachim, and he says, ukigon shirachvim arba al abar, arba, has to also be 4x4 in terms of the area of the ditches and the mounds, have a makum chashim b'fnei atzman, then it makes them its own independent makum. So based on this Rashbam, there's a discussion when it comes to a person davening, and there's a makum, there's some tzoeh, something disgusting, you can't daven in front of, so if you're in the same reshus as tzoeh, you can't daven. But let's say it's in its own reshus, that it's in a pit, it's in a sewer, so then it's considered separate. So according to Pashup Shah of the Gemara, 10 tvachim deep, it's already considered its own reshus. Rashbam says it's not enough for it to be 10 tvachim, it has to also be 4x4, that's when it's defined as a reshus b'fnei atzmo, and that's considered separate. But if it's so narrow where it's not 4x4, then Rashbam would seem to indicate that it would not be considered its own makom, it's part of the area where you are, and one would not be able to daven. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll pick up tomorrow.